Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The word of God reads, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Let's stop there and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless the reading of your word to our hearts, God. We thank you this morning. I pray that this morning you will reveal to us through your word the power of the risen Christ. For he is not dead, God. He is alive.
Yes.
He is seated at your right hand side.
Yes.
He is seated in the throne of our hearts.
Yes.
And so, Lord, speak to the church here this morning. Remove all distractions. Help us to be disciplined, God, to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us here this morning. We love you. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated in the house of God. Yes, there's power in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
How many know there's power in the blood of Jesus?
Amen.
The power in the blood washes away our sins.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says it like this. He says, "Come now," the Lord says, "and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." See, it is the blood that bleaches away our sins. You didn't catch that. Let me say it one more time. It is the blood that bleaches away our sins. There's some of our sins that we had. Some of us had some sins. We needed some bleach on it. Come on, somebody. Have you ever needed a shirt that needed some good old bleaching? Oh, come on now. I mean, that stain didn't come out. Amen. Huh? You had to get some of that extra Clorox on that thing. Matter of fact, after you wash it, you smell like Clorox. Because that stain was so heavy and it couldn't get out. And that's how some of us were with sin. Sin had stained us so bad that we needed the bleach of the blood of Jesus Christ to take away the stains that were upon our lives.
That's right, Pastor.
See, the blood, I want you to know, the blood never loses its power. Huh? But this morning, I'm going to talk to you about the power of the risen Christ. But before I get there, let me tell you that there's still power in the blood. I said there's still power in the blood. The blood never loses its power, my friends. Not your blood, his blood. His blood that was shed on Calvary. His blood that was shed on the hill of Golgotha. His blood that came down when he was whipped on his back, that was shed for you and I. That blood washes away our sin. And that blood never ever loses its power. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22. You can turn there. They can put it on the screen too. Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse 22 there. verse 22 through verse 28. I know we've all heard, right? The blood never loses its power. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
Have you ever asked yourself, where's that verse in the Bible? Huh? It doesn't say it like that verbatim. But here in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 is where we get it from. In verse 22, it says this. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with the blood. Now, I know that on the screen is the King James Version, right? So let me read the King James Version in verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission of sins. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands. In other words, Christ didn't enter into the Holy of Holies, into the temple in Jerusalem that was made by human hands, that was made by the hands of the Jews and the Israelites. But it says, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven he went in. Not to appear in the presence of God, to appear in the presence of God for us. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, he took his blood, and instead of going into the temple in Jerusalem, he went into heaven before God himself, and he offered up his blood. He said, here you are, because I know you see the sins of the world. I know you see the sins of Grand Prairie, and of Dallas, Texas, and of Texas, and of the United States. Oh, but I got news. I'm binding with my blood. And he went into the holiest of holies. He went into heaven, and he presented the blood that never loses its power. He gave it to God. He says, here, because without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. The blood never loses its power. Let me continue reading the verse. It says, nor yet, in verse 25, he should offer himself often. In other words, he doesn't have to go in again and again. And the reason why I put it on the King James Version today is because I'm going to have to break down some words to you. But let me switch over to the NIV in verse 25 so that you can listen to me. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. You know what he's saying? He's saying he only had to do it once.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, the high priest in the Old Testament, they had to do it over and over and over again. Wow. They had to get animal and animal, right. Goat after goat, right. Sheep after sheep. Why? Because there was no power in that blood. There was only temporary power in that blood. It's just like you, it running in your veins. Let me tell you something. That blood that is running in your veins, it gives you power. But that blood is only temporary. Oh, you ain't hearing me this morning. When that blood runs out, you're a goner.
Yeah.
Huh? Right?
Yeah.
But here it says that he went in once. He went in once. Verse 25, nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all. For all the culmination of the ages, to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself.
Amen.
Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgments, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him.
Yes, amen.
Is anybody waiting for him?
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, I'm waiting for him. Tell your neighbor, I'm waiting. Huh? The blood never loses its power. The blood of Jesus never, ever loses its power. This is where we get the phrase from. He did it once for the culmination of all ages. Christ entered once to present his blood for you and I. You know what that means? That means all your sins, all your past sins.
Well,
oh, come on now. Oh, you're lucky, amen, huh? That God doesn't put all your sins on the screens for us to see.
Ooh.
Oh, come on, somebody. Imagine if you did that, right? Imagine when people came to the altar to get saved, amen, and we came to ask God to forgive us of our sins, he put them all on the screens.
Oh.
And you know, Pastor, I want more screens, amen, so they'll be everywhere.
Right.
Huh? Imagine if he did that. But he, you know what? He forgave all those past sins. He forgave all those past sins. Oh, that's good news for me. Because I committed murder. I remember, in my BC days, me and an old girlfriend, we had an abortion.
Come on.
That's murder.
Yeah, come on.
We had an abortion.
Come on.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Some of you looking at me like, well, I'm going to turn you in. Come on, somebody. Huh? I come in and saw, I robbed a lot of people. I stole from a lot of people. I broke into a lot of houses. I said so many lies. I broke all the 10 commandments. Matter of fact, I broke 11 commandments. If there was 20 commandments, I would have broke them all.
Huh?
But he forgave me of all my past sins.
Hallelujah.
But you know, because the blood never loses its power, not only did he forgive me of my past sins, but he forgave me of my presence. I said my presence. I said my presence. Don't look at me like that. Huh? Because, come on now. Don't put me on a pedestal. I gotta confess my sins just like you gotta confess yours.
Right, come on.
I gotta fight this flesh just like you gotta fight your flesh. I get road rage just like you get road rage. Maybe not just like you get road rage. Amen. Some of you get crazy. Amen. But not only my past, present, but even my future. Oh, come on, somebody. That doesn't mean I trample on the blood of Christ. That doesn't mean I go out and intentionally to sin. But it does mean if I fall, come on, somebody. But it does mean that if I mess up, he's faithful and just to cleanse me and forgive me of all my unrighteousness. Because the blood never loses its power. I said, there's blood, there's power in the blood.
Yeah,
huh? I said, there's power in the blood.
Yeah,
huh? See, the blood of goats and animals had to be offered over and over and over again, but not Christ's blood, because his blood had power. Power because he knew what he was doing. He was intentional at being sinless and faultless. You see, the problem with the blood of the animal is that the blood of the animal was shed in ignorance.
Oh, wow.
In other words, that little old sheep that was going to be offered, was going to be sacrificed for the sins of the Israelites. That little sheep, he was just happy, walking into the temple, laughing, having a good old time. But he didn't know. Come on, that was his last day.
Wow.
He didn't know.
Come on, man.
He was walking on death row.
Right.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Huh?
See, because that blood of the animal was shed in ignorance.
Wow.
Because the animal was ignorant to the fact
that
he was about to be a sacrifice.
Wow.
Huh? Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
But the blood of Jesus.
Come on.
Was shed in intentionality.
That's right, come on, Pastor.
Let me say it a little slower. The blood of Jesus was shed in intentionality.
Right.
In other words, Jesus knew what he was doing.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
This is why, remember last week, the drama? Jesus, where's Jesus?
Where are you at?
Come right here. Just stand right there. I remember, just show your face, Jesus. Amen. He played Jesus, remember? Remember when he was up here?
Amen.
Huh? He didn't utter a word. But he knew what was happening.
Amen.
You can sit down. He knew that he was going to die on the cross. He knew. This is why he didn't even fight. He said, because he said, I know what I'm doing and this is what I want to do. You have no power over me. The only power you have over me is the power that God gave you over me. And you don't know that this is, you think you set me up. No, we set you up. Me, the Father, and the Holy Spirit set you, the devil, and the world up, because you thought you had us. You thought you had my people. You thought that they were going to split hell wide open. Oh, but we got some news for you. I'm here with
be intentional in laying down their life.
See, the blood never loses its power. There's power in the blood because it wasn't shed in ignorance. It was shed in intentionality.
Amen.
Jesus knew what he was doing.
That's right.
He was intentional in coming down to this earth and living a sinless life. You know why his blood had power? Because he was sinless.
Right.
That goat. Come on, somebody. The only reason why he didn't have sin was because he was ignorant. Sins are not accounted to the ignorant. This is why when Paul, remember Paul persecuted Christians?
Yeah.
And remember he was and then he got saved?
Yeah.
And he said, when he was persecuting the Christians, he really thought that he was doing the work of God.
Right.
But then when he got saved, and then all of the church was afraid of him, all of a sudden, you know, they were afraid, they didn't believe that he was saved. And some of the church started telling him, well, you're just trying to be a spy and infiltrate. And he says, matter of fact, you persecuted the church. He says, yes, but I did it in ignorance. Because I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see. There's a lot of sins that we did in ignorance. Come on, somebody. I said yes to that abortion out of ignorance. Because I was blind in my sins.
That's it.
Oh, but when the light of Jesus Christ
hit me.
Oh, the blinders came off. I said the blinders came off. I was blind, but now I see. See, Jesus went to the cross. He knew full well what he was doing. He came to this earth to live a sinless life because he knew full well that, listen, if he sinned, then his sacrifice would have no power.
That's right.
But because he was perfect, he was pure.
Yes.
He was able to offer his blood.
Right.
That was pure and perfect and holy.
Come on.
And it's that blood that washes away our sins.
Yeah.
What can wash away my sins?
Nothing
but the blood of Jesus. That's right.
Come on.
See, there's also power not only in the blood, but there's power in the empty tomb.
Yeah. Right.
John chapter 20, verse 1.
Amen.
John chapter 20, verse 1. Let's go back to John chapter 20, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. John, that's John chapter 1. John chapter 20. Okay. Verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, this is Resurrection Sunday, Mary Magdalene, the one that had seven demons, that Jesus casted out seven demons, her, went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance.
Wow.
So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. But they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to raise from the dead.
Right.
Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. In other words, they went to see if the tomb was still full.
Come on.
And they found an empty tomb. There's power in an empty tomb. Why is there power in the empty tomb?
Come on.
Because the empty tomb is proof of his resurrection.
Right.
Yes. Let me tell you something. The three major religions of the world, which is Muslims, Hinduism, Buddhism, and that's not including Christianity, of course. Christianity is a major religion. But just take those three major religions. There's probably no other bigger, you know, of course, not to mention Christianity. Muslims, Buddhists, and Hinduism. Big religions. Muhammad, the prophet of the founder of the Muslim religion, the prophet Muhammad, is buried in the Green Dome in Medellin, Saudi Arabia. Matter of fact, thousands, millions of Muslims go every year to his tomb, the Green Dome. You can go and visit his tomb, where he is buried at. Buddha's body, the founder of Buddhism, was cremated in Kushinger, India. And they, and his ashes were placed in monuments which are still believed to be around today. Gandhi, the founder of Hinduism, on January 31st, 1948, he was cremated on the bank of the Holy Yuma River, and his ashes were buried there. All of these founders of false major religions, you can trace their final resting place. But the tomb of Jesus remains empty today. Millions of people still go to Jerusalem, to the empty tomb, to look inside, to peer inside, and only to find what I'm telling you today, that the tomb is empty because Jesus is alive. I said, Jesus is alive. He is here today. He is in my heart. He is seated at the right-hand side of Jesus, of the Father in heaven. That's the power of the empty tomb. That's the power of the empty tomb. Yes. It's proof of his resurrection. Yes. You want to travel thousands of miles? Go for it. And go look at the empty tomb. You're not going to find Jesus' ashes. You're not going to find his DNA. You're not going to find his bones. You're not going to find his remains. Because he's not there. He's in heaven. But you know where you will find him? You'll find them in the history books. Not just in church history books, but you will find them in philosophical books. You will find them in the encyclopedia. You will find them in Wikipedia. It is proven that he was a real man that walked the Sea of Galilee, that he did many miracles, was a great... You will see. There is proof that he was alive. If then there's proof that he's alive through history books, then where is the proof? Where is his body? Where is his ashes? Where is his DNA? It is at the right-hand side of the Father in heaven. It is in heaven, and one day the soon coming King will split heaven open, and we all, every eye will see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming from heaven. Out of his mouth comes a double-edged sword. You will see his hair will be like wool, his eyes like blazing fire. We will see Jesus, our soon coming King, coming back for his glorious church. He's coming back for a church that is without stain or blemish. Why? Because we've been washed in his blood. Because there's power in his blood. Because the blood never loses its power. And there's also power in an empty tomb.
Oh, come on.
Now it brings me to my last one. The main one. The power of the risen Christ.
Come on now.
See, this power is twofold. First, it's the power over death. The power of the risen Christ, first of all, is power over death. Power over the grave. You see, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, look at the scripture. On the screen. This is what it says. When I saw him, this is John the Revelator. When Jesus gave him the revelation, the book of Revelations, on the Isle of Patmos, Jesus appeared to John. It says, when I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet as though dead. As though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I'm the living one.
Come on now.
I'm the living one.
Yes.
I believe the church gave Jesus this nickname. The living one.
Yes.
Huh?
Amen, amen.
Because the world thought he died.
That's right. Come on.
They started to spread lies that his disciples stole his body. They started to spread lies and say that, you know what, he really wasn't dead. Wow. Let me tell you something. Roman soldiers did their job well.
Yeah, come on. Right.
If they didn't do their job well and kill Jesus, they would be killed.
That's right.
There's not a way that they did not kill Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
And when he resurrected and he appeared to the disciples and to, the Bible says, over 500 others.
Come on.
It's true.
He got the name, nickname. Jesus? Yeah, the living one.
Amen. Yes.
Jesus, yeah, the living one.
Yes, amen.
And all of a sudden, his nickname became the living one.
Come on.
What was your nickname? Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Huh? Jesus was the living one.
Yes.
Huh? Listen to what he says next. I was. I was.
Come on now.
I was dead.
Come on now.
And now look. I am alive. Forever and ever. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death. And I hold the keys of death in Hades. Huh? See, because he conquered death, he is able to hold the keys over death.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. A key represents power.
Right.
A key represents power.
That's right.
Like when you turn on your car, right? When you turn on, I got one of those new keys. You know those new keys that it's not like the old style where you click it in and turn, right? It's the one where you just got to have the key and you push the button, push start. I got one of those, right? Just push start. And there's sometimes where I don't got the key. I can go on there into my car and try to push that little button, but ain't nothing gonna happen.
Yeah.
Right? How many have that key, right? You have one of those. Huh? Why? Because I ain't got the key. Huh? But if I have the key.
Come on.
If I have the key.
That's good. Come on.
I can tap into the power.
Yes.
Oh, you ain't hearing me today.
Come on now.
Jesus has the keys over death and Hades. And because he has the key, he can tap into the power to resurrect. To resurrect and to bring to life dead things. See, without key, without the key, there is no power. A key also represents access. To get into your house, you need a key to give you access. To get into eternal life, your access is in Christ. See, some may say, well, why don't Christ stop all the death right now if he has the keys over death? Because let me tell you something. The only ones with access are those who have put their faith in Jesus. And there's still many, many people out there who haven't put their faith and their trust in Jesus. And so therefore, Jesus doesn't end it right now. Therefore, Jesus doesn't pull out those keys yet because he's still waiting for many others that have not put their faith and their trust in him to come to him so that more can be resurrected from the dead, so that more can have eternal life. You don't believe me? Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm giving you the word here this morning.
Come on.
2 Peter chapter 3. Starting verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, the NIV says, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day. You may say, well, why is the Lord taking forever? Listen, to him, it's just been 7 days. It's been really 2 days to him. Since Christ, it's really only been, you know, it's a couple of days.
Wow.
This is what it says. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. With you. Because some of you still ain't saved.
Come on now.
Because some of you still straddling the fence.
Wow.
Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish.
Uh-oh.
but everyone to come to repentance. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to came to come to repentance. That's why he doesn't end it now. That's why he doesn't stop death now. That's why he doesn't resurrect the dead now. Because remember, when he finally uses that key, the dead in Christ will rise first. And we will be caught up. We're going to read that scripture in a little bit. Together to forever be with the Lord. But there's still some people that don't have that access. Because they haven't put their faith and their trust in Jesus. Today you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Today you need to surrender your heart to Jesus so that you can have eternal life. So that when that key is turned, you can have eternal life, my friend. So that you can, when God calls you on that day, you can say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. You know, like a thief. A thief doesn't tell you when he's going to come in.
That's right.
Huh? You know, because some of you used to be thieves. Come on now. Some of you still are. Amen. The heavens will disappear with a roar.
Come on.
The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Wow. See, the Lord's patience means salvation. Jesus has the power over death. Listen, let me tell you something. You don't go until he says you go.
There it is.
If he don't want you to go, then you're going to stay. But even if you do go, remember, Paul said it is better to go because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Jesus has the power over death. This is why he brings life to dead things and dead circumstances. Even if we die, we shall live. And Jesus will resurrect our body. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Even if we die, we shall live. Because Jesus will resurrect our body. Verse 50. Some good stuff right here.
Amen.
I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. That word sleep doesn't mean take a nap. It says it means being buried. It says we will not be all sleep. It means being dead. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed.
Come on, Dad.
In a flash.
Wow.
In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet. Ba-boom. For the trumpet will sound. Ba-boom. The dead will be raised. The dead will be raised. The only ones that will hear the trumpet are the Christians. The only ones that will hear the trumpet are the dead in Christ, are the living in Christ. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, you will not hear the trumpet. I know it's hard for you to believe, but listen, just like my pastor says, I'm just dumb enough to believe God. I'm dumb enough to believe God and take him at his word. I don't put a question mark where God put a period. I just believe that what he the Bible says it's going to happen, and only the Christian will hear the trumpet sound of God, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed, for the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over what? Victory over death. Victory over the grave. Victory over dead things. Victory over dead objects. That drug was dead. That bottle of alcohol was dead. You were in a dead relationship. You were in a dead end street. But God, he gives us power. He gives us victory over death. I should have died a long time ago. I shouldn't be standing here before you. Oh, but thanks be to God. He gave me the victory. I said, said he gave me the victory. Because he has risen. And he's given us power over the dead things. The second power, the last power of the risen Christ, is power for the church. Not only power for dead things, but power for the church. In Acts 1:8 it says, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Amen. See, the word power in that verse is comes from the Greek word dynamine. It's where we get our work, it's where we get our word in English, dynamite. What you have to understand is the New Testament was written in the Greek language. The Old Testament was written in the Hebrew language. So this is why, you know, when we do word studies, I'll say the Greek word if it's in the New Testament. And here in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the word power in the Greek is dynami, which where it's where we get the word dynamite from. Some teachers of the Bible call it dunamis. Either which way, it's the same thing. We get our word dynamite from it. See, this Greek word is used 33 times in the New Testament. In most cases, it simply means power. But there are a few cases where the meaning means a little bit more. Three examples real quick in Matthew 25 verse 15. They can put it on the screen. The word here for power is the ability. It says, "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his severe ability." This word here is dynamite or dunamis. When I looked it up in the concordance, this word is the same word that is used in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Except for in English, we don't say power. They translated it ability. 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 What does that mean? That means that God's power working in your life is your ability to serve. Your ability to serve. I got to move fast. The risen Christ gives the ability to the individual Christian, the ability to serve. God's dynamite power is given to us so that we have the ability to serve each other and to serve the world. So that we have the ability to do this. I asked myself, why would God give us the power to do this? Because he knows that not a lot of people do this. Not a lot of people do this. You know who they do this to their wife, they do this to themselves, they do this to their children, but they don't know how to do this to the church. They don't know how to do this to the people. They don't know how to do this to the world. God has called us to be the servants of the world. He called us to be the servants of the church. And this is why he had to give us power to serve, because he knows it doesn't take power to serve your wife. It doesn't take power to serve your children because we love them. Our hearts are full of love for them. That doesn't take no power. What really takes power is when you learn to serve the unservable. When you learn to serve the unlovable. When you learn to serve the treasure out of darkness. When you learn to serve those that can offer you nothing. That's why I like United We Can. United We Can, you get to United We Can, you probably ain't ever going to see them. But it don't matter because you're serving them. See, it takes power to do that. The ability to serve. You make the ushers come in, the worship team comes in, the leaders come in, the teachers come in every Sunday, every Friday. They come in to serve. They come in to serve. They don't know who they're going to serve today. They don't know if they're going to serve their enemy, that person they got into a fight with in high school, that person that robbed them and did them dirty on that one dope deal. And sometimes they do come in. On the streets, Brother Joe was apologizing to some sinner on the corner. Or Friday night, he found some church out of darkness. "I'm sorry, forgive me, bro." I said, "Man, what did you do to the brother?" He must have robbed him for his dope or something. I don't know. Who would ask him forgiveness? Serve.
Come on now.
And we serve. When we go to the streets, we serve. You know, I told my wife, I says, "You know, we had a great time at the last picnic we had." How many had a good time at the picnic? But nobody brought sides. Nobody brought sides. My wife brought potato salad. That's it. I said, oh, the church is lacking servanthood. I mean, there was a lot of meat because it's easy to go to the store and just buy the meat. Oh, but to roll up your sleeves and to peel some potatoes, to get some beans and to clean them out and take all the rocks out. Come on, somebody. Huh? Come on. To make that famous macaroni salad that you make. To make that famous macaroni and cheese that your husband likes. Come on, come on. To make that salsa. Come on, that you only, you know. Oh, that takes. That chancla on you today. Pastor had to put off the whip. I said, we can't lose that ability to serve in Victory Outreach Grand Prairie. We can't lose that desire to serve. To serve in the house of God. And to say, I want to serve. I didn't come to be served. But I come to serve. God died on the cross to give you the power to be a servant. We need more servants in the house of God. We need, you know what a servant is? You know what a leader is? A leader is nothing but a servant. We need servants in the house of God. They're willing to rise up. I'll be that usher. I'll take care of the cars. I'll be the security lot, parking lot attendant. I'll be the one that takes care of the cars. Let me serve. Secondly, another example is found in 1 Corinthians 14:11. Put it on the screen. 1 Corinthians 14:11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning, this part right here, the meaning is dynamite. Dynamite. The meaning of the voice, that whole phrase, the meaning of the voice is dynamite. Power. He says, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Paul here, what is he saying? He's teaching on the topic of glossolalia. Say what? Come on, tell me, say what?
Say what?
I'm glad he asked. Glossolalia means the doctrine of tongues. That is my heavenly language God has given me. I didn't always speak that language. What does it mean? I don't know. God knows. The meaning of the voice. The meaning of the voice. That word, that phrase in the Greek is dynamite. Power. So here in this verse, it's the same word, but it means the meaning of the voice, the meaning. Here the word dynamite is used in the words, the meaning. Paul is teaching here on the doctrine of tongues. When the Holy Spirit finally fell, like Jesus promised, he would fall. He manifested himself, the Holy Spirit, in different tongues. So that others would know the meaning of the preaching. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. Put it up there. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Come on, move with me. Come on, hurry up. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Come on. And suddenly, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was known abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all of them Mexican? And we hear them speak Japanese. We hear them speak English. Tongues. Jesus gave this power so that we could speak in a new tongue. And he gave us this power to speak in a new tongue for what?
to preach the gospel so that people would understand the preaching of the word. You may say, well, Pastor, that's not the type of tongues we hear here in Victory Outreach, because we all know English and Spanish, and that's what you mainly speak. Listen, but we have a heavenly tongue that we speak. And listen, God doesn't have to give us the interpretation right now, because it's not a need, my friend. It's not a need. But if it was needed, God would give us that gift. So my point is this. The new tongue that God has given you is a new tongue of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because before, everything that came out of your mouth was dope dealing. Everything that came out of your mouth was, how do I make money? Everything that came out of your mouth, let's go party hardy. Everything that came out of your mouth, where am I going to get my next hit? Everything that came out of your mouth was about you, yourself, and your family. It wasn't about the gospel. It wasn't about Jesus. But now that you're a Christian, God wants to give you a new tongue. To preach the gospel.
Yes.
To preach the gospel.
Amen.
Not to be on Facebook all the time.
Oh.
Not to be talking about yourself and just, you know, you and what you're doing. No, but it's to preach the gospel. That's why God has given you a new tongue. And the last thing. Is found in Mark 6:56. It's what Pastor Josh preached on.
Uh-oh.
Let's read it real quick. Now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. This ain't it, bro. Mark chapter 6.
Verse 56.
No, we're not there. Okay, let me read it myself. Mark chapter 6. What verse did I see? Okay, verse 56. And whenever he went into villages, towns, or countrysides, they placed the sick in the marketplace. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Were healed. I don't think that's the verse I needed, but that's a good verse too. Where is my verse? Somebody stole my verse. Who stole my verse? Somebody stole my verse. It's not on there. Yeah, there it is. Mark chapter 6, verse 5 through 6. There you go. The devil's a liar. Look at verse 5. You want to go home? Or are you giving me 5 more minutes? It's the same verse. It's the same verse Josh used. He used a different one. It says he could not do many miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith.
Wow.
He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them.
Wow.
Here, the word dynamite is the word. Oh, we still not up there. Yeah, we need a miracle on the computer. The word miracle. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet with me. Is the word dynamite. The word miracle is the word dynamite. Okay, let me sum it all up. When we sum up this power, Christ has given the church ability, tongues, and miracles. All this power manifested is for the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To build God's kingdom on this earth. As it is in heaven. When you sit back and look at it all, the power of the risen Christ is twofold. First, the power over death. Then the power for the church, that he's given us ability to serve. He's given us a new tongue to preach the gospel. And he's given us miracle working power to work mighty works. When you think about that, he eliminated the first. He says, you know what? I'm going to give them power over death so that they're not worried about dying. Because if they're worried about dying, they're not going to be busy building my church. So let me eliminate them worrying about getting sick and dying. Let me eliminate that by taking the keys of death. And so that they ain't tripping about how long they're going to be here. I don't want them to focus on that.
So just, you know what? I'm going to take away the keys of death. I'm going to have the keys of death, and I'm going to give them power over death.
Amen.
But now, I'm going to give them power, the ability to serve. I'm going to give them power, the ability to speak in a new tongue. I'm going to give them power, the ability to do mighty works. Why? To build my kingdom. To build my kingdom. To build my kingdom. The power of the risen Christ is to build the kingdom of God. Not to build your own kingdom, but to build the kingdom of God, my friend. That's why God has given us this power. The risen Christ gives you power over death. Power to be able to serve. Power to speak in a new tongue and to do a mighty work. That's what I've been doing for the last 19 years of my life. He resurrected me from the dead because I was dead in my sins and trespasses. But he gave me a power to be a servant. He gave me power to speak a new language. The language of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ. God is doing the same thing for you. God has given me the power to do a mighty work. That's what's happening here every Sunday and every Friday. That's what's happening in your life. God is doing a mighty work. He's doing a mighty work in your life, Jesus. He's doing a mighty work in your life, women's home. He's doing a mighty work in your life, men's home. Leaders, he's doing a mighty work in your life. It's a mighty work. I couldn't do this by myself. I couldn't do none of this, but I can't sing. I don't know how to play an instrument. But God seen this in my life 19 years ago when I was on my way to Texas Department of Criminal Justice. God seen this in my life when I said that sinner's prayer. He put power in me. He put power in me. And God wants to put power in you. He wants to put power in you. Because he resurrected from the dead. You got to receive this power. Some of you are afraid of the power. Don't be afraid of the power. You know how you're afraid? Because you don't want to serve. What if I fail? Some are afraid of the power to speak in a new tongue. You know what? I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm talking about preaching the gospel. Because we don't go to the streets. Listen, there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of the church folks, a lot of church people are going to be upset when Jesus returns. Because Jesus is going to hold them to account. What have you been building? Oh, I built me a house. I built me a lowrider. I built me a car. I built me a business. Okay, what does that have to do with me? What did you build for me? What did you build for me? I gave you power and you sat on the talent. You sat on the gifting. You sat on the power. You did nothing with that power. But I accepted you as my Lord and Savior. But yeah, but for what? You did nothing with the power I gave you. You heard Pastor preach about it. You heard what the word. He showed you through the word of God on Sunday morning. He showed you through the scripture what the power is for. But this is why you should have used that power for that purpose. And today you have an opportunity to change the course of your destiny and say, I'm going to quit squandering the power of God and I'm going to start using the power of God to build God's kingdom. That's you. I want you to get out of your seat and come to this altar and say, you know what? I'm tired of playing games with God. I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of playing Christian. I want the power of God to be effective in my life. I want God to use me. The devil used me. The world used me. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Struggling, man. You've been afraid of death. You
You've been afraid of temptation. You've been battling temptation. You've been falling into temptation. I'm here to tell you, God can give you power over that. If that's you, you say, you know what, I've been dealing with that. I've been feeling weak in the flesh. I've been feeling weak with temptation. I've been feeling weak with fear. Fear is not of God. Perfect love casteth out fear. And God wants to give you power. Even if you're sick in body, man. Even sometimes if you're sick in body, God can heal you of that. And listen, it ain't your time to go until He says it's time for you to go. And if it ain't your time, He'll give you power to stay alive. And if it's your time, ain't no power gonna help. But don't be afraid, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you will be changed. Today, if you're here this morning and you need some power in your life, I want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay, put it down now. God sees your hand. If you're here and you're not saved now and you want to give your life to Jesus, raise your hand. You want to give your life to Jesus. Anybody here, raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you're a backslider, come on, raise your hand. Give your life to Jesus. All right, say this prayer with me. Let's all say it together. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Don't look at me. Close your eyes. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Save me.
Save me.
From my sins.
From my sins.
From myself.
From myself.
I surrender my life.
Surrender my life.
To you.
I believe
there's power in your blood.
Your blood
never loses its power.
Today,
save me.
Deliver me.
Set me free.
Be my Lord
and be my Savior. I give you my life. I give you my heart. Give me power in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you need a healing in your body, if you need a healing in your body, lift your hands. If you need a healing, if you need a healing in your body. If you don't need a healing, then don't lift your hands. But if you need a healing, lift both your hands high. Now, church, I want you to go, and I want you, if you're good, if you're not sick, if you see somebody with their hands raised that need a healing, go pray for them. Go pray for them. There's somebody next to you that's raising their hands, pray for them. We're going to believe God for miracles, for healings this morning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's it. Pray now, pray now, pray now, pray now. In the name of Jesus. By your stripes, they're healed, God. In the name of Jesus. By your stripes, they're healed, God.
Christ, amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you tonight at 6 p.m. for Life Flow.